hello, everybody, and I apologize for the little bit of mess there getting us up, but welcome to the Eagle Radio's Wednesday night Women's Bible Study. This is Robin, and I have Megan and Karen with me. Good. So I'm going to let the song just play for just another minute, and I'll turn it off, and we'll get started. We're going to be looking at the testimony of Samuel tonight, which I know is pleasing to Karen, Megan, and I hope to everyone else. Karen and Megan, how have you all been this week?
It's been a busy week. Doing well.
Good. Busy at work or just busy?
Yeah, very busy at work. Yeah. So,
Megan, how's your week been?
Busy. Just, you know, life.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So, we are in, actually, the book of Samuel. And I know the three of us, though she is not mentioned in chapter 11 of Hebrews by Paul, will want to take an opening look at Samuel's mother, Hannah. And, you know, Hannah is, I guess you could say, if don't we want to be Hannah's?
She was very faithful.
Best way to put it, yeah. And so Karen, if you wouldn't mind just picking up and reading a bit of chapter 1 so that we see Hannah, and we'll visit her just a moment or two, and then we'll move into the testimony of Samuel, her son.
Okay, so just read down through a little bit?
Yes, please.
Okay. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah to her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there.
Well, that's part of the story of Hannah. And I hope people have read this in chapter 2. It goes on. But this was Samuel's start. He was born to a woman barren who had beseeched the Lord. And I know I don't want to hog the conversation of Hannah, so I'll just open it up right away to you guys to share Hannah. You know, what about Hannah you'd like to bring to light this evening?
Go ahead, Megan.
All right. Well, the thing about Hannah was that she said she was a handmaid. And we did a study on handmaids and found out that a handmaid to the Lord is one that is like a bond slave, one that does everything unto the Lord. And that is a very faithful woman. And that's the one of the things about Hannah, one of the many things about Hannah that, you know, really shows that she believes the Lord. She prayed to him, she believed him, and he brought what she had prayed for to pass. And she honored that promise that she gave to the Lord, that I am going to lend my son to the Lord and for all his life. And, you know, being a mother, I can say that is not an easy thing to do, because you grow to love the child and you don't want to give the child up to the Lord or anybody, you know. But her spirit overcame her flesh, and she was faithful and did exactly as she said that she would do. I guess that's it for me.
Well, when you use that word faithful, you know, she was not only faithful to her word, but she actually, to me, that word says that, but it also says that she actually was full of faith in God. So, you know, she entrusted the very son, as you say, she loved, into the hands of a God that she trusted. And we know, and I suspect Megan is going to touch on this, that the man who she who was the man present that she gave Samuel to, though she gave him to the Lord, was Eli, an unfaithful servant. But her faith was in the Lord. And Eli was in that place as the priest. But it was the Lord she trusted. And another thing I think of when I think of her is, you know, she cried out in her distress, as we do. But when she was full, she still performed her word unto God and wasn't fickle. You know, she only wanted him when she needed him, which is really the testimony of Israel and what is natural to man's flesh. But that wasn't Hannah. Hannah was faithful when distressed and when in plenty. And she did keep her word, and it is an amazing thing. So, Megan, I hope I didn't steal any of your thunder.
What have I got left to say? No, I'm kidding.
I know you are.
Going back to what Karen had said, when you read in verse 11, she calls herself thine handmaid talking to the Lord. And when you read when she's talking to Eli in verse 16 and 18, she talks of herself as thine handmaid talking to Eli, which brings it to what you had said about the fact that her faith was in the Lord, and the fact that Eli sat in the seat of a priest, aside from the fact that he was an unfaithful man himself, her faith was in the Lord. She looked to the Lord through Eli, and she trusted the Lord to work through this man who had the position to bring the word and for her to be blessed through. And she received it as the word of the Lord, and it came to pass. And as we know, she, as you said, she was faithful to her word. She remembered her promise to the Lord and made good on it. And then she went on and had other children, which is a blessing to her.
And you know that other children, because it's, you know, she believed the word of God at Eli's mouth. And I'll tell you, that is a big one to me, because I know how often I haven't believed the word of God. The Lord speaks a lot, and we don't receive it. Here you have a woman that heard. She got up. She was no longer sad. She ate. He said, he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast requested of him. She accepted that as the word of God, her answer to prayer. But if you go to chapter 2 in verse 11, oh, wait a minute, not there. Chapter 2, verse 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. So again, at the word of the Lord, Hannah was blessed. And she didn't judge God's ways. And, you know, I believe she meant what she said when she told the Lord she would lend her son to him all the days of his life. And so she performed it.
She didn't, you know, disregard him. She went every year when they went up. She brought him a new coat, and when they went to go and offer the sacrifice. And something that Davy had put in the chat as an interesting thing to note as well, is that Samuel kept the vow that his mother had made. He never tried to, it doesn't appear that he never ever tried to get away from being the Lord's, or being in the service of Eli, or being in the house of the Lord, or in he received his, you know, he received the Lord, and you see him when the Lord calls him, his response and how he is favored by men and God as he grows.
You know, when I read this story, and I thought of the testimony of Sarah in Hebrews 11, because if you read verses 11 and 12, we know that God had promised Abraham this seed. And then in verse 11, it said, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, because of Sarah's faith, sprang there even of one, and him, Abraham, as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So, what Hannah didn't make Samuel's choice. Samuel made his own choice, and that was to serve the Lord. And, you know, one thing I noticed, and there were two places that I noticed it written, he perfectly kept the Lord. He didn't let any of it fall off. He didn't withhold any of it. He perfectly brought God's word. Perfectly. We'll see that. The first one was in chapter 3, verse 19. He let none of God's words fall to the ground. Isn't that amazing? The faithfulness of that man, the attentiveness and service and duty and single-mindedness of Samuel. He let none of the words of God's words fall to the ground. And the other place that I noticed it, maybe there were more places, was in chapter 8, verse 10, and it said, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. He was a faithful servant of God. And as you said, Megan, there he is, a young child, in chapter 3, and he's laying in bed, and the Lord calls him. And he jumps and runs to serve Eli. And Eli hadn't called him and sent him back to bed, and the Lord calls him again. And this is a young boy. He jumps and runs to serve Eli. And the third time, of course, Eli recognized it was the Lord calling him and told him to go back and say, in verse 9 it says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, that's exactly what Eli had said. Samuel, he heard and he obeyed. And, of course, that which he heard was a confirmation of the testimony against Eli and the judgment that was going to fall, and he feared to give it to Eli. And yet, when Eli told him to say it, verse 18, here's the third testimony, and Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him and said, and he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. But Samuel didn't take lightly the word of God at all. He took it, I mean, it was so valuable that he didn't let one of the words drop.
That's kind of my favorite part of the story, is when he was laying in bed there and kept on going to Eli saying, yes, you called me. I don't know. I just really like that part.
And I think it is a picture of Samuel and his quickness in his and his attentive service to the Lord. Megan, did you want to jump in?
Nope, not at this point.
Well, I know something you had pointed out to me a week or two ago was the very first verse of chapter 3, where it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." And I remember you saying how sad that was. And yet I think when you read through the end of that chapter in verse 21, it says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." And so God was able to bring forth that open vision again into Israel because there was a man to whom he could reveal it. And that didn't mean there weren't people that didn't believe in the Lord, because Hannah did, obviously. In the chat it says, "What exactly does it mean to not let one of his words drop?" He received them. He didn't change them. He obeyed them perfectly. He did that which they said. He was attentive to it in every detail. The Lord didn't say something to him and he forgot it. The Lord didn't say something to him and he, like we talk about playing telephone, how, you know, one person says it and the next person says it, and by the time it gets back to the person who first said it, it's completely changed, because we don't take time to hear it and then bring it forth exactly as we heard. But Samuel did. He was that attentive, and that he didn't mix it with his own thoughts and understanding. And so he could hear the word of the Lord, take it as the word of the Lord, and go forth with it as that. We hear things and we qualify it. Yes, and Davey wrote in, he never forgot what God said. And you know, there's, when you, and I don't want to get too far past, because of course we know that, wait just a moment. I'll try and get back to that. But the subject is when God rejects Saul, and Samuel's distress over that, but Samuel obeyed the Lord, you know? I mean, he didn't question the Lord. I do believe he interceded quite a lot, but even as we see in David's testimony, he also received the Lord's answer. But another thing I thought was really interesting about Samuel, and that is that the Philistines were subdued all the days that he judged Israel. And that, if you look in chapter 7, and if you go down to verse 13, it says, "So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel's. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath and the coast thereof. Did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites." So, and then something that we noticed when we were looking at one of the judges before him is in chapter 12 where, let me see, I think, yep, in chapter 12, verse 11, this is Samuel speaking, and he's speaking to, he's actually chastening and rehearsing the work of God amongst Israel. And he says in verse 11, and the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safely. So, you know, Samuel, he walked in the victory of the Lord and was one by whom the Lord performed his word, which was to drive out the inhabitants of the land, which was to give the promised land unto Israel. And Samuel's, in his testimony of that which God did for Israel, includes the testimony that God did even with himself. And he rehearses to Israel the work of God and their continual backsliding and unfaithfulness to them. And he gives testimony. He gives testimony of the works of God. And another thing at the end of that chapter, chapter 12, that I thought was remarkable, because this is the chapter where Saul has been anointed as king, and Israel wanted a king like all the other nations, and it grieved Samuel because God was their king, and God had told him, don't, you know, that they're not rejecting you, Samuel, they're rejecting me, and to give them what they want. And Samuel's first thing is to explain to them exactly what it's going to cost them. And then he explains to them exactly what kind of a king they actually have in God. And then he goes in and he explains to them that nevertheless, even in the midst of this rejection of God and their sin before the Lord, if they will obey God yet, that he would be with them in their obedience, that the king himself would be obedient. And if you read chapter 12 there, it's really very interesting because he goes through all of that. And then he calls upon the Lord to send down a thunder and rain that they may perceive and see their wickedness, that it is great, and that they have done in the sight of the Lord. And they beseech Samuel to pray that they don't die under this punishment, this chastening. And if you read that at the end of 12, it says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, verse 20, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Isn't that interesting? That if you turn aside from serving the Lord with all your heart, that you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. That's the same truth as today. For they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, and this is something that really kind of blew my mind. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Talk about a watchman who was faithful He has an amazing story.
And he had the love of the Lord for those people, too. He really wanted to see them come through. He didn't want to see them fall aside. He wanted them to do it, and he wanted to pray for them and for them to not be consumed. That's what he didn't want, and that was the love of God that he had for them.
Even in his praying that the Lord send thunder and rain was so that they could see how great their wickedness was.
Right, right. That was love.
You know something in contrast? Because if people are like me, it's easy to look at these people of faith and not realize that they did something I could do too. And we talked about it with Hannah, who received the word of the Lord and got up and was no more sorrowful and ate. And, you know, she knew the Lord had answered her and granted her a petition. And we know that Samuel obeyed the Lord. And we see nothing but perfect obedience to the Lord. But, and he went forth in accordance with what God said. If God said it, he believed it. Now, we know, as in contrast, Saul the king, there was the testimony of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. Chapter 9, Samuel tells... let me read this to you. I'll just read it so I don't get it wrong. It's in chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. And to set the stage, the people have already asked for a king. God has already said, you know, we're going to give him a king. And then we enter into a story about Saul, whose father... Three of their asses had wandered off. I think it was three. And so Saul and a servant went to search for them. And so they're searching, and they're gone for a couple days. And now Saul knows he's in the proximity of the seer, Samuel. So he said, you know, let's go find him and ask him. Peradventure, he knows where they are. Now, in this backdrop, here's what was coinciding at this same time. And if you go down to 15, it says, "Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, 'Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me.'" So Saul's anointing was that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, but Saul did not perform that, even though he was anointed for it, even though he was strengthened, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went forth in victory. But I think at least three times, if you read the story of Saul, he distinctly disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. And every time he was brought to account for it, instead of repenting, he laid the blame upon the people. But that for which he was anointed for, he did not perform. And so you see that idea, or that truth that James speaks of, where we have to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And that's doing the works of God, not our own. Saul was not, and he was cast off. Samuel did, and the Lord performed his word. Israel was delivered. He judged Israel, so there was an open vision. the word of the Lord was available, rightly divided. He prayed for the people. And, I mean, it's something that is important to see that just because we've heard the word and even received it and even claimed it, if we don't stand up and walk in obedience to it, we're not in a very good place. We're not in a good place at all, actually. It's not even a matter of a very good place. And in the day when we're called to account for it, we need to have no excuse outside of repentance. It isn't anybody else's fault what we do with the Word of God. So, were there other things that had really stood out to you all?
Something from chapter 8, which is where the people ask for a king. And, you know, they ask several times, and they ask... to have a king to judge us like all the nations.
That's verse 5.
Yes.
I just want people to know.
They say it again in verse 20. You know, that they can be like all other nations, like other nations, and have a king to rule over them. And, you know, verse 7, it's kind of a, you know, the Lord says to Samuel, "Hearken not to the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." I suspect that until this time, I mean, they obviously didn't realize that the Lord was reigning over them through the prophets and, you know, his prophets, his men. They wanted somebody that they could see and look to, and they looked to them to essentially replace the Lord, like the governments of today or what have you. Not of today like it's new, but just this country. But that was just, you know, that they rejected the Lord, that he should not reign over them. That's a scary thing for God's people, to not want him to reign over and judge them. I mean, it's, you know, it's an interesting thing to look at and see.
Well, you know, when you say that, something that I found really interesting is God is a just ruler. And, you know, Samuel goes through and he tells the people what is going to come to pass if yep. they have an earthly king. And when, after God had rejected Saul, you see where Samuel, you know, this is sad to Samuel. This didn't please Samuel. He grieved. I mean, at one point, God even says, "Why are you still grieving for him?" But when it was time for him to go and anoint David, and I'm looking to see if I can find that.
It's in 16, I think.
Thank you. I was going to be very slow in getting there. So, if you go to 16, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? from reigning over Israel. Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now, this is Samuel's response now that there is an earthly king over Israel that is empowered, you know, for or against the people. And Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hear it? He will kill me. That's a pretty heavy statement. God, as a ruler, wouldn't do such a thing. You know what I'm saying? They traded a just, trustworthy ruler for an earthly king who even Samuel says to the Lord, if he hears that I'm doing this, he's going to kill me. And so the Lord provides a way for him to do it undercover, so to speak. And I apologize, people. It's my it's my Bible. That's why I moved it away from the mic there, looking for chapter 16. There's too many chapters here on Samuel. Well, no, it's my rifling. I won't blame that, but it's my pages, and I apologize for that. Another thing is in these chapters is a scripture that most of us are familiar with, and that is in chapter 15. And what had happened is that Samuel had told Saul. It says in the first verse, it says, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel when he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And so you go through and see Saul gathering together the people, and they smote the Amalekites, but he took Agag, the king, and they took all the good livestock. They've been told to not spare anything. And then after Saul did this, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. And this is verses 10 and 11. For he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed? Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Now notice when he's chastened, all of a sudden the people did it.
But you see, he does say there after, you know, Samuel says kill everything and everybody. The Lord never said keep the king. So he does take the blame for at least, you know, I've brought Agag, but the people, like you said. So he's something Steve likes to point out to the children is, you know what, if you're part of it, even if you didn't do it, you get the same, you're involved, it's the same thing, you're an accomplice, it's, you get the same punishment.
Yeah, yeah. And this is where the verse, Megan, that I know you've said frequently, verse 22 and 15, it says, And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Davy asked, does anyone know why he might have kept the king alive?
I was going to ask that actually, because I was wondering if it was because Samuel thought instead of obeying the voice of the Lord, he thought he had a better way or something.
You meant Saul. You're doing what I do.
Saul. Saul decided that would be a better way to bring the king back, you know, instead of doing what the Lord said and being completely obedient, as many people do, you know, they think they got a better idea than what the Lord has, and thought it might be a good idea.
Yes, Charlie there says because he was Saul's equal, he was also a king. So, you know, the rest are just the plebs. They're just the little people, but we're the kings. Therefore, we deserve better treatment, kind of thing.
I would almost say it's more like a trophy. You know, he brought the defeated king. And maybe we're wrong. So, Davy, if you would put in the chat there, but it would seem to me a point of pride and victory that he would have brought the king.
On a slightly different thing, but going back a little bit there, where you see how Saul, you know, says he's kept it, but the people did this. We had talked a little earlier today, you and I, about the difference between Saul and David, and how, you know, when there was any blame to be had, Saul threw it at everybody else. When there was blame to be had with David as king, he took it and received, you know, put it at the feet of the Lord, and you know, sought the Lord's mercy.
Yes, David was quick to repent, and never blamed another for his behavior. Davy wrote, how about this? If the word got out that he killed the king, then one day it could happen to him as well. And I, you know, Davy, I hope you'll chat in there again, but I know when I look at especially King David, when I read the Psalms, but you see a man here, Samuel, who does it, and all who will stand in the Lord, they stand, there is a courage that it takes to stand in the Lord and allow him to do his just deeds, because you stand there by his mercy and his grace, not by your own greatness. And when I read the Psalms and I think of David, there is strength in David's voice for God to arise and let his enemies be scattered. And it takes... it takes a courage that resides in the complete and total sufficiency of Christ and submission to him to be able to do that. And Saul obviously did not have that. Samuel did. David did. Abraham did. Paul did. Paul went forth mightily, and yet his testimony of himself was one of that would speak different, but he didn't go forth in himself. He went forth in Christ and was, you know, I mean, he had a zeal for the word of God, notwithstanding himself.
Yes, and Megan wrote in the chat, in other words, he thought the Lord's judgment was faulty and that he knew better. That's kind of the thing that I got from that passage there about Saul not destroying everything as the Lord asked him to, because he thought he knew better.
It was good.
Yes,
that was good livestock.
He can't possibly have meant we should destroy the good stuff. That would be, you know, I wonder if perhaps when he says here, we kept them to give us offerings before the Lord, if that wasn't actually a cover-up, because, oh gosh, we're caught. Well, you know, we were going to do this with them. They may have had that intent, but I suspect it was an afterthought.
I have to agree. That's what it always sounds like to me, because it's not presented as though that's what they did.
Davy wrote,
he wrote, when you look back, you see that the custom was that when a people were conquered, they would take captive the king and his royals. This was partly pride, but also a type of insurance in case they were conquered. So I believe that he thought it was better to keep the king alive. Gotcha. Well, you know what? Praise the Lord, because that's something I myself hadn't seen, so I will allow that one to sink in. Thank you.
Something that you've talked of earlier is about Samuel's faithfulness to the Lord and his word. David, faithful to the Lord and his word. Here you see Saul. Samuel just says to him, you know, he told him what the Lord said to do and how to deal with them, as you'd read there in verse 3 of chapter 15. And here Samuel comes and he reminds him what the Lord said, and he doesn't hear it fully and he changes it. And you see it over and over and over and over and over and over. And I, you know, I speak for myself unfortunately, or not unfortunately, that's a bad word, but, you know, just it's not a good thing when we don't rightly hear and then follow through with the word of the Lord.
And, you know, in that thing that is we haven't really brought out, and we're almost at 8 o'clock, is God had judged the Amalekites. He had judged them, and it was Saul's duty to bring that judgment to pass, and Saul did not. He even explained why he was asking him to do this, because of what they had done to Israel when they left Egypt. I'm laughing at the chat, forgive me. But it's we've kind of given an overview. I certainly hope people will avail themselves of the story of Saul, which spans a good portion, of Samuel, of 1 Samuel. And then next week we'll take a look at David, which is got even more in the Bible about David, because he authored so many of the Psalms too. But one, and David's testimony is different, but it is the sure mercies of David that we want to avail ourselves of. And so, you know, take a look at David, or a re-look, as the case may be, and next week we'll come together to look at him together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So let me see if I can do this. Look at that. The music is coming back on. So... good night, and God bless everyone. I've enjoyed the conversation on Samuel with you, Megan and Karen. And thank you for joining me.
You are welcome, and we enjoyed it, too. I'm speaking for Megan, too. I'm sure she enjoyed it, too.
I sure did.
And I look forward to seeing you all Sunday and being back on the Eagle Radio Network, programs Thursday and Sunday starting at 10 Eastern Time, and then next Tuesday for Men's Bible Study. So God bless everyone.